welcome everyone to the February 2007 edition of the BuildingYourIdealPractice.com monthly practice building teleseminar. I'm Jeff Herring, and I'm the president of Building Your Ideal Practice. Our monthly teleseminars are free to our subscribers, and if you are here as a guest of one of our subscribers, we are so glad you're here. We welcome you, and you can join and receive our free monthly Getting Clients newsletter and participate in our free monthly practice building teleseminars and get all kinds of additional bonuses by going to buildingyouridealpractice.com. And David, why don't you jump in and say hello by way of telling everyone, all our listeners, how they can listen to this recording later.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the call. And I'm excited that Frank is here talking about how to package yourself for success. You can listen to the recording after the seminar on buildingyouridealpractice.com in our audio catalog. And also, there's important supplementary information for you at buildingyouridealpractice.com/packaging.html. So go to that web page right now because you can follow along, and there's much more information there than we can possibly cover in today's program. buildingyouridealpractice.com/packaging.html.
And today we are going to learn how a 360 marketing strategy is the key to a successful and thriving practice, why developing multiple product offerings and packages build credibility and increases your client base, how to leverage your service packages to acquire new clients, the best practices used by global corporations that can be easily scaled and used in small businesses with great results, why it's important to love your work and why that gives you a competitive advantage, new ways to look at your target market so that you can anticipate their needs, and why a good reputation is like money in the bank. And we have with us Frank Madron, who is RCI Certified Master Relationship Coach and the President of Conscious Relationship Network. But Frankie, you weren't always doing that, were you?
No, I wasn't.
You come out of the corporate world, and you and I first met, I heard you on an RCI call talking about how to package your services, and I listened to you and I thought, I want her on a Building Your Ideal Practice program. So, Frankie, welcome. How did you go from corporate world? I mean, you used to be with McDonald's, right?
Yes.
How did you go from the corporate world to relationship world?
Well, I was responsible for national marketing at McDonald's Canada, and it was a great job. And I actually even went to Hamburger University.
Imagine.
Yes.
There's such a thing, huh?
There is such a thing, but it's a marketing university. It's not how to flip burgers. Although, I think I had a degree in flipology. But anyway, so I went for McDonald's, and I thought, this is really, I can't get excited about selling hamburgers. There's got to be something more meaningful. And McDonald's is a wonderful company, but it was just time for me to find something that was more meaningful. And coaching was the answer. And so about 4 years ago, I took training and started working as a coach. And so here I am. But marketing and being an entrepreneur, because I've had several businesses in the past, is in my blood, and I can't quite shake that. So even though I'm a relationship coach foremost, I still do some coaching related to helping small businesses improve their marketing and their performance.
Now, you make a big claim here in some of the language in our newsletter, and that this teleseminar will help take the fear and stress out of marketing. How in the world are you going to do that?
Well, I'm going to do that by getting underneath the fear. What's the fear all about? And if you bear with me, you know, we'll get to that very shortly, but you know how I'd like to begin, if you don't mind, Jeff?
Please.
I'd like to start with a definition of marketing.
Okay.
This one that I want to share with you is by an anonymous source. So here it goes. If the circus is coming to town, and you paint a sign saying circus is coming to fairgrounds on Sunday, well, that's advertising. And if you put the sign on the back of an elephant and walk him through town, that's a promotion. If the elephant walks through the mayor's flower bed, that's publicity. If you can get the mayor to laugh about it, well, that's public relations. And if you plan the whole thing, guess what that is? That's marketing. So I love that definition. I don't know who wrote it, but they really hit the nail on the head.
I think you should put your name to it.
the American Marketing Association has a different description, and it's I'm going to read this one here. It says, the process of planning and executing the conception, pricing, promotion, and distribution of ideas, goods, and services to create exchanges that satisfy individual and organizational objectives. I think that's the first definition better.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And one of the ways we define it, building the ideal practice, is marketing is basically letting people know what you do.
Yeah, exactly. And it really involves two parties. It's the buyer and the seller, you know, the person who's selling the service, and the consumer who's looking to purchase that product. But it's also an ongoing process of delivering what the consumer wants. So it's dynamic because consumers change, the market changes. And so what a customer wants today is not necessarily what they want tomorrow. And you know, a great example of that is the poor beef industry. Sales are declining. Why? Because consumers are more health-oriented. But you can look at any industry and, you know, it's changing.
Right.
Consumers change, and what they want changes. And so the more a marketer understands the target consumer, the more that he can anticipate their needs and offer solutions. Okay, and the solutions come in the form of products or services to meet those needs. And it is definitely consumer-centric.
I like that word, consumer-centric. What is what's a 360 marketing strategy?
Well, a 360 marketing strategy includes looking at all facets of your business. So imagine that you have a little ball in your hand, and that's your business. Well,
okay.
If you look at it from one perspective straight on, you're not going to see all the facets of your business or all the facets of that ball. So you really need to turn it around. You need to look at it from different angles. You need to look at it asking different questions that are pertinent, not just any questions, but pertinent questions. And that gives you the 360 perspective of your business. And unfortunately, most people don't do that. They look at things from a very linear fashion and operate their marketing strategy, if they even have one, from, you know, a very small base or perspective.
They get what I like to call tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really impressed me about you when I heard you on that call, Frankie, was how you had taken the material with the REST program and packaged it. So how can our listeners look at what they have to deliver, look at their services, and see different product offerings, see ways they can package things?
Well, I'm going to go a little bit deeper than that because I want to start and talk about why many entrepreneurs really don't like marketing.
Okay. Take it away.
They have an issue with it. Because until you get past that, every attempt you try to make to market your business is not going to feel right.
Mm-hmm.
You feel uncomfortable. You know, you're going to feel as though you're pushing and should I say this? Should I, you know, not say this? And so let's get rid of that right off the top. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the two top reasons that entrepreneurs and service professionals say they hate marketing. First off, they try to market without having a very clear vision of their target and their service offering. That's the first one. And the second one is they believe that self-promotion is pushy and self-centered, and that makes them uncomfortable. Obviously, it makes them uncomfortable. Let's look at the first reason, not having a clear vision of the target and the service offering. Well, we're going to talk about service offerings later on, and we're going to talk about bundling and packaging them. So let's just focus on the target, not understanding the target. When you don't know who your audience is, and you don't know what you want to communicate to them, well, it's pretty difficult to craft a compelling and effective marketing message.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So imagine, Jeff, that you were a manufacturer of orthopedic shoes, and you placed an advertisement on MTV. Like, you'd be wasting your time and your money. Wouldn't you? And you'd also be probably the laughing stock of the shoe industry. So you really need to define your target market and niche. And I know today that's not the topic. I just want to say that you can't market effectively to your target until you understand who they are, where they are, what they want, what's their pain, you know, what's the solution that you offer to that pain, what are the benefits of your services, what motivates them into action, and you need to articulate this in a way that will be immediately understood by your target. Okay, so that, I hope, addresses the first issue around not being having a clear vision.
Right.
The second one is that people say they hate marketing is because they believe that self-promotion is pushy. Well, there are two approaches to marketing. One is the traditional selling concept, and that emphasizes selling existing products. And the philosophy here is that if a product is not selling, no more aggressive measures must be taken to sell it, and that could be price cutting, you know, more advertising, or hiring aggressive and sometimes obnoxious salespeople to move that product. So that's the selling concept. The marketing concept, in contrast, focuses on getting consumers what they want, what they're seeking, and regardless of whether this means coming up with an entirely new product. As I said before, it's a very client-centric approach to business. And I think what happens with entrepreneurs, they feel uncomfortable with marketing because they're not experienced marketers. They don't understand the principles of marketing. And for some, marketing is a dirty word.
Right.
It's confused with selling. Okay, and it conjures up these images of these very aggressive salespeople who push their products on this poor, unreceptive audience.
The classic is the used car salesman.
Exactly. But, you know, if you look at it, marketing is a science. And in its most simplistic terms, it's just all about understanding the psychology of the consumer and then leveraging that knowledge to deliver exactly what the consumer wants. And that's why, you know, you talked about best practices. That's why these major corporations apply best practices, because they're tested and they're proven. They work. But the second reason that entrepreneurs aren't comfortable with marketing, and this is really, really, I think, at the crux of it, they don't place a high enough value on their services. So whether you're a music teacher, a yoga instructor, a dentist, a coach, a chiropractor, or a spa owner, you know, why is valuing what you do so important? Well, because people hire us because they want and need our services, okay? We help people affect positive change in their lives, and hopefully we make them feel good. And so for every one person you help, potentially hundreds more could be positively affected through the ripple effect. You know, if my smile is perfect because my dentist did such a great job, I'll be happy and feel good about myself. And I'll make my husband feel happy, and my kids will be happy. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on, okay? So it's really important to value what you do. Remember that whatever you do, you make a difference. And I like to put it in different terms as well. As an entrepreneur, it's important to differentiate your goal from your role. And a very unlikely and unusual example is Mother Teresa, if you can believe this. I think Mother Teresa was a great marketer.
I love it.
It's
Tell
true,
me about
though.
That. Okay, how so?
Her goal, and these are Mother Teresa's words, okay, so I'm going to read from this. She said, her goal was to offer free service to the poor and the unwanted, irrespective of caste, creed, nationality, or race. Okay, that was her goal. But her role, she understood that her role was not to continue working among the poorest of the poor in the slums of Calcutta. And if she'd done that, she would still have been very successful because she could have helped hundreds of people. But she understood her role was to market herself and bring worldwide awareness to her work. Why? So she could achieve her goal on a larger scale. And if you look at the Missionaries of Charity, which was her organization that began as a really small order with, I think, just 12 members in Calcutta, today it has more than 4,000 nuns, and they help hundreds of thousands of needy people each year in more than 100 countries. So that's why I say Mother Teresa was a terrific marketer. She understood that her goal was different from her role. So I'm going to ask everyone on this call to think about, what is your goal? That's about defining what I call the noble vision or mission for your practice. You know, what is it you want to achieve? What do you want to be known for? And what other expertise do you bring to the table that makes your service offering special? And here's a little tip. You know, you can often find your USP, which is your unique selling proposition, and that's what sets you apart from the competition.
Right.
Your goal or mission statement. That's where you can find a clue as to what it is. So let me give you a couple of examples here. Let's say you owned a spa, and your goal is to provide a haven for stressed women, a place where they can feel, can safely and comfortably recuperate and rejuvenate from their hectic lives, and then return back into the world with a renewed sense of peace and strength. That's a pretty noble vision, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I love it. Now, what if you're a dentist? Okay, maybe your mission is to help improve the quality of life for your patients, to enhance their lifestyles, and to radically increase their feelings of self-confidence, self-worth, and self-esteem. Those are noble goals.
Certainly.
And everyone on this call, if they look into, you know, why they're doing what they're doing, they will find a noble goal. So I say, hang your hat on that. Make that the guiding light for your business.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to Mother Teresa is that once you've clearly defined your goal, the next step is you can't help but understand that your role is to market your services so you can, you know, achieve your goal. Because, Jeff, if you don't market, you won't achieve your goal, and then everybody loses. Okay, so when you get that, when you value what you do, when you understand your mission or goal, and you understand your only job is to market your service, then you'll be able to do it 24/7. You won't be embarrassed. You can do it shamelessly and with some pride, because what you do is important. Does that make sense? Does that set the stage for how people can overcome their fear and repulsion of marketing?
Yes, Frankie, it does. And you know, I'm way past those kind of, you know, those kind of feelings or inhibitions about marketing, but that even appeals to me as a nice way of looking at stuff. And it comes out in my mind as not only is it therefore okay and good to market, you have the obligation to let people know what you do.
Absolutely. And that shift in perspective is what is going to, it's like a generator, you know, it's going to get you moving and sustain you when you want to flag and you feel, you know, I don't have the energy to do it. Just go back to your noble vision and why it's important that people know about what you do.
I really, really liked it. I think that's a good gem out of this call already. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. So do you want to talk about the benefits of packaging or bundling products?
Sure, sure. You know, take it down from, you know, from the viewpoint down to the what do you do?
Well, packaging or bundling your products or services can really leverage your business and your marketing efforts. And just think of the fast food industry, which I'm from. Meals are bundled. You know, you get the fries, the burger, and the drink at a better price than at the a la carte price. Right? And so for the customer, this is a greater perceived value, and it's an incentive to purchase the combo rather than the individual item.
I love it. I love it.
So I don't know about you, but many times I've been, you know, places, and I don't want the drink or I don't want the fries, and I look and I say, well, it costs me more not to get the fries. You know what I mean? So I may as well just have the combo. And that's how people think. So when you assemble products or services to sell in the package, it not only increases your overall sales, but it gives you a number of things. And one of them gives you the ability to sell slow-moving merchandise, you know, if you have products, because you can add them to the mix. It automatically upsells your customers. You don't even have to ask for it because you've automatically added that or, you know, bundled it into the offering. What I really like is this next one, because that, depending upon what your goals are, you can add products or services to a bundle that enable the client to test those services or products that they might not otherwise use. And if they like what they're testing, they may come back and buy that the next time. Okay? The next thing is that it lowers your marketing costs because it allows you to move multiple types of products or services through one advertisement if you're advertising, or one promotion. And if you joint venture, it exposes your products or services to a new list of prospects. And finally, one of the other benefits of bundling is it promotes a higher perceived value to your customer. And customers love that. You know, then you become the hero or heroine, okay, because you're giving such great service or great value to them. Now, there's a number of things you have to do before you start to develop. I mean, you can't just say, okay, now I'm just going to take a whole bunch of stuff and throw it together, and now I got a package or a bundle.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
No, because then you end up with a Big Mac, a fish sandwich, and, you know.
Yeah. You have a fish sandwich with a taco or something.
There you go.
It doesn't go well together.
Right.
So it's like looking at that ball that I talked about earlier. You have to always look at your business from a 360-degree perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So before you start bundling, there's four key things that you should do. The first one is you really need to go back and assess your target's needs and wants. Okay? That's important because you may think you have this great idea,
Right.
I love fish sandwiches with tacos, but if nobody else likes it, you're not going to move any of them. Okay?
Right.
So you have to get into the head of your prospects. What do they want? And the interesting thing is people will often buy what they want and not what they need. So just be careful that you're offering what they want, and it's great if they need it as well, but don't just rely on the fact that they need it. And also focus on, are there some key life or holiday events that could trigger the desire for a particular service or product? So look at things like Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, life things like moving, engagements, wedding, birth of a child, that type of thing. Like, look at the life events that we all have. So what could trigger in those events the need for a particular or want for a particular service or product? And what's the hook or the angle? For example, for Valentine's Day, I mean, that's a day for lovers. So if you're a relationship coach targeting singles, would you just say, well, you know, that's hands off, that's not one holiday that I'm going to even connect or bother doing anything about? Well, I say no. You know, think about the hook. Think about your target. Well, singles dislike Valentine's. Why? Because they don't have a partner. They're single. Okay? And that bugs them. So leverage that feeling and spin it. You know, maybe you plan a singles mingle event on February 14th, and maybe the theme is, you know, Valentine's is the start of a new year of love. And at that event, you promote your upcoming workshop, and you offer a tip sheet, you know, with dating skills. So you have to start thinking bigger and more conceptually or intuitively around what your customer desires. So that's step one.
I like that. What's step two?
Step two is taking inventory of all your existing and potential services. And you're going to like this one too, Jeff.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
You have to categorize your services by level of importance. Okay? That means, is this service in alignment with my business goals? Does it solve or address my target's problem or need? Does it generate reasonable revenue for the effort that I'm putting out? You know, remember the Pareto principle. That's the 80-20 rule. 20% of your efforts are always responsible for 80% of the results. So focus on the 20 that work. And years ago, and this is what I think you're going to like, years ago I developed a concept that I called the marketing tree as a way to categorize and itemize a client's services and products based on whether the offering was core, secondary, or tertiary. So the concept of the marketing tree is simple. Like, visualize this huge oak tree. The roots of this tree represent our noble mission or goals. So if we go back to my earlier example of the spa owner, whose vision is to provide a relaxing haven for stressed women, that goal anchors and focuses her business. That's the root of her business, the root purpose of her business.
Okay.
So next, look at the core services that she provides. And this is the trunk of your marketing tree. And so this is applicable to everybody, no matter what business you have.
Mm-hmm.
Your roots, now the trunk. So in the case of the spa, well, her core services are spa services. You know, they're things like facials and massage and different types of baths and manicures and pedicures. That's her main offering. But now let's look at her secondary service offerings, which, using the tree, these are the main branches coming off of the tree. So she sells some maybe private label spa products like creams and oils. Maybe she's a meditation practitioner, and so she also offers meditation training to her clients if they want it. Maybe she rents out studio space to a yoga teacher, and that teacher offers classes to the spa clients. But she also brings in her own clients to the spa.
Mm-hmm.
They purchase services. And maybe another branch of her tree is she offers hair and makeup for weddings. So these are some of her second-tier services. Now the tree is getting, you know, a little bit fuller, but we're going to make it really full because we want to have a business that's all in alignment on purpose, but it's bringing in revenue from all the different branches.
Right.
We have. So let's look at the smaller branches. So she may have, a good example would be establishing a referral system. Maybe she's got a dermatologist that she refers her clients to who want treatments like maybe, I don't know, derma abrasions and Botox and injections. And she gets money for every referral that that dermatologist gets.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with maybe she has a relationship and a referral system with a weight loss coach. And then maybe she sells CDs, you know, music that's really soothing, and perhaps she has her own guided meditation CDs. So you see, these are ancillary, they're really tertiary services, but they're on the smaller branches of your marketing tree. But every one of them is generating some income and going to your bottom line.
Got it.
But it's important. It's important that when you're defining, you focus on your core business first, and then you have to define any supporting services that are a great fit, okay? Because they have to fit in with your business philosophy, and they have to provide your clients with additional services or products that they want. And the thing is, maybe they don't even know they want it until you offer it.
So on this tree, you wouldn't find something like how to improve your tennis serve.
No, exactly not. Exactly not, because that's not, it doesn't support the overall purpose of the business, the mission of the business.
Right.
And I want to talk just briefly about service providers like coaches and consultants and accountants and dentists. If you don't have products, because typically we don't have product in the traditional sense of the word,
right.
Supplementary offerings could be a newsletter, a special report, or maybe you offer, if you're an accountant, you offer a tax tip CD in January. You know, there are lots of opportunities to develop additional services, even for entrepreneurs who are in a fee-based situation. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later.
Okay.
So let's look at the third step to developing a package. You have to take inventory of your own skills and expertise. Are there some additional services or products you could provide based on your past experience, but that meets your target's needs? Now, let me give you an example. One of my clients is an organizer. You know, an organizer is someone who comes into your home, gets rid of your clutter, just helps you get organized. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Well, she spent many years as an administrator of a retirement home, and she recognized that many people didn't understand the ins and outs of transitioning into a retirement home. So what she did, she developed a guide that provided a lot of valuable information to not only the elderly, but to their adult children, because these are the people who are really responsible for helping their parents move. Because of her past experience, she's been able to grow this niche into a very lucrative segment of her business. And she gets a lot of referrals from retirement homes because she gives them her little guide or little booklet, and they give it to people who come in and are looking for space in the retirement home. So it works really well. But that's based on her experience. And in my own situation with my coaching practice, my practice focuses on relationships. But because I have such a strong marketing and business background, I'd say about 30% of my business is coaching entrepreneurs to help them develop their marketing plan and structure their service offering. It's part of what I offer. It's part of what I can bring to the table, and
right.
Need people take that. So think about how your experience can take you and your clients further. So the fourth and last step to developing your package before you develop, assessing how you do it, is assessing joint venture opportunities or cross promotions with companies who share the same target as you do and who offer complementary services or products. Now, one of my clients is a small designer and manufacturer of really high-end costume jewelry, beautiful stuff. And her main product line is wedding jewelry and accessories for the bride and bridal party. So she routinely creates joint venture alliances with people like wedding planners and hair salons and makeup artists and wedding apparel retailers, and they cross-promote products. She's even shared a booth at a wedding show with a violinist. He sat there nicely in the corner, and she had three-quarters of the booth. Okay, so that was great. But because of those alliances, and because she was very strategic in who shares this wedding target, she was able to increase her business 300% in the last 6 months. And if you know anything about the wedding business, from the middle of the year to the end of the year is not the busy season. So now she's just in her prime wedding season, and she's expecting even greater increases this year. So those are the four steps. And by taking these steps, the end result of your assessment is that you have your 360-degree view of your business. And now you're ready to start developing different package offers.
So many people that I work with, whether it's coaches, counselors, piano teachers, people that run hair salons, you know, they're living appointment to appointment. You know, next client to next client, service to service to service, and they're so caught up working in their practice, that they don't have time to step out and work on their practice and bundle these things. So I love this process of putting that together.
But, you know, the process for bundling is really a process for evaluating the opportunities in your business. So whether you come out of that and you say, I mean, this call is about bundling, but even if you weren't going to bundle, at least you would have a better idea of where the opportunities are around your business. So I recommend that process for anybody, especially small business, to engage in. So let's just finish this off here, because I want to talk about getting into the different type, you know, how to structure those packages.
Right.
So you look at your marketing tree. You begin by thinking about the problems your customers experience and the solutions you can offer. Then you think about, okay, what else can I add to that solution? What else can I package in there that costs little or nothing but adds really great value?
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of questions you need to ask and as you're doing this. So, first of all, what are the opportunities for packages? You know, who's the target? What's the need? What's the offer? What's the hook? What's the thing that's going to capture their attention and, you know, make them turn and look in your direction? Who can I partner with? And how and where will I manage, you know, the package? And I'm going to talk about hourly providers and, you know, what they can do in a minute. But let's just go back to the example of the spa owner. I think this example will really exemplify the opportunities that she has. Most of her core services are offered a la carte. Now, if she had gone through this process I just said in October of last year, if she'd done this evaluation, she might have come up with a gift package for women. But her target audience would be men who wanted to provide a special high-end gift for their wives or girlfriends at Christmas. So October, maybe even September, is when she should have started to think about, what am I going to offer? What's my package offer for Christmas gifts?
I see.
Right? And she might call it 12 months of pampering the goddess in you. So she's going to offer a package that is once a month, women who receive this gift can come into the spa, and whatever she's bundled into the package is what they would get. And she could advertise this maybe in her local paper, and she could provide perhaps an information brochure at the local gym. Well, why the local gym? Because that's where the men are, okay? And if you look at some of these questions, what are the opportunities for the package? Well, it's Christmas. Okay, perfect timing. That's the opportunity. It's a valuable high-end gift, and it's something that you wouldn't normally purchase. Okay, you really wouldn't. And who's the target? Well, the target is not women. The target is men. And what they need? Their need is that, hey, I need a gift. You know, and I don't feel like shopping.
Not just any gift, right?
And it's December 24th. You know, that type of thing. And they want their women, and this is true of men, they want their women to feel good and be happy all year long. They really do. Like, I love men. They're so darn sweet.
Well, thank you.
So she recognized this, okay? And then what's the offer? Well, it's a once-a-month spa treatment for 12 months. And what's the hook? Well, it's pampering the goddess. Well, who could resist pampering a goddess? Who could resist telling their wife that he thinks she's a goddess? Right?
Yeah, especially if that's on the title of the product, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, when you ask yourself the question, now how do I answer all these questions, and does my package kind of fit in well with that? And then in developing the package, she'd have to consider a couple of things. And so the first is obviously, how do I structure this package? Because she didn't just automatically, she had this idea of 12 months. Okay, so what's in the package? Because she wants, here's another objective of hers, she wants the clients to get maximum exposure throughout that whole year to a full range of services and products that she offers.
Okay.
And maybe these are really high margin items, so there's a lot of profit in them. But these are things that people don't usually buy. But these are things that once they've tried them, they like them. And then if they like them, they'll buy them again, right?
Right.
So if her core package includes, let's say, a mini facial and a body massage, a manicure and a pedicure, so that she get the client gets that every month for 12 months. But in addition, every month she might include one different product or service, so that in the course of a year, that client is exposed to 12 new products or services that she would maybe never tried before.
Okay.
Okay. And as I said, if it's something, let's say she throws in a rejuvenating eye treatment in January, and the client really likes it, and maybe the value is $15. Well, next month, that's not included in the package, but the client says, oh, gosh, that made my eyes just pop, and I just look so wonderful. I'm going to add that to my monthly service. Okay, so she's just made $15, which she wouldn't have made before. The next thing is, how do you price the package? She's got to think about, how do I price this package so that my clients see the value of the offer? And so the higher the perceived value of the bundle, the more compelling it is, and the more willing people are to buy it. In this case, I think she was very fortunate because she leveraged Christmas. She leveraged the need of men to buy a wow gift to demonstrate their love. And so she hooked onto a pretty good strategy there.
Absolutely. And the theme I'm getting here, Frankie, tell me if this is accurate or not, is you're looking at more than a one-shot, one-incident, one-time event, one-time event with someone. You know, she was looking at, how can I engage these folks for the whole year?
Yes, exactly.
I think that's brilliant.
And even if your package wasn't a year-long package,
right,
there are still ways to bundle an offering based on what you do so that you're starting to build a relationship with the client.
Right.
You know, one of the things I do, I'm going to talk a little about this in a couple of minutes, but one of the things I do is my rate for 45 minutes is $100. So when I have a workshop, I come out of a workshop and in the package that the clients get is a little offer sheet that is 3 45-minute sessions for $250.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because I know that when they've gone through my training program, that's when they need coaching the most, because that's when a whole bunch of questions arise. All of a sudden, they have a need and a want, because they really do want to be successful. And they need my help because we've built the rapport and they know that I can help them. And now I've delivered, oh, thank you, Frankie, a discount. Okay, so that's how it works. And I'm hoping that from that point, we may, you know, move on to a continued coaching relationship. We may not, but I have other services and products that they could purchase, referral systems, that type of thing. Okay. One thing I do want to say about when clients buy packages, this is true, I think, in pretty well every industry, they don't use all of the products or services that they paid for. Okay. So in this case of the spa owner, she wouldn't be surprised if couple months out of that year, that woman doesn't come in for a spa treatment, but it's been paid.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So that's the other thing to know about packages. People don't really take full advantage of all the services that you're offering. Nice to know, because that increases your margin. The next thing is just, she's got to think about is, how does she leverage some of those relationships that she has with her joint venture partners? So an example might be, remember we talked about the yoga class. She might have a little introductory yoga class coupon in the January package, and it has a 15% reduction on any yoga programs that the customer buys in 2007. Okay? And she gets a referral fee from that. So not only is she driving traffic into her joint venture partner, but she's getting paid for it. And the JV partner, how I would structure this is, I wouldn't pay for that introductory class. That's part of the yoga instructor's cost of doing business, but I'm not paying for it as the spa owner. Okay, so I've added value, but it's no cost to me.
Add value without additional cost.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can. And if you think about, if you're really creative and you just don't limit yourself, you know, you can come up with some really fabulous ideas. Now, Jeff, we've been talking about small businesses that have product. And I want to talk a little bit before we end this presentation about people who bill by the hour, because there's a lot of us who do that.
Right.
And there's a way that we can package our services. We can use intellectual property to, because cracking that billable hour ceiling is sometimes really difficult. And so if you're there for an hour and you get paid for an hour, I mean, it can sometimes be a drudgery. So you have to be creative in terms of, how can I make money when I'm not in an hourly rate situation?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways is packaging your process. So sell a process rather than your time. And client, you know, examples could be workbooks, could be forms, assessment surveys, self-paced programs, train the trainer packages. You can do all that. And then you could bundle that. Let's say you develop a train the trainer package, for example. and you could even sell that to some of your colleagues. You could bundle that with a fixed number of training hours. So let's say the package is $299 on its own, and so you'll add 3 hours for $399, 3 hours of training, and you show all the benefits of that. So then you're bundling. You see how you're bundling services?
I do.
Yeah. The other thing you can do is give a class. That's where you can earn, you know, your earning power per hour dramatically increases. It can be a class that's $49 or $20. It doesn't matter. But if you have the numbers there, you're making more per hour. And as I said, that's a really perfect way to, if you run a class, is to do a, provide a special offer where you bundle your fees. You know, as I said, my earlier example of me bundling 3 hours for $250.
Right.
You could give a presentation to a group. And this is a really good way to get in front of your target audience. You can do a free presentation to service groups or organizations. They're often just, you know, dying to have new, fresh speakers. It could be a luncheon meeting or like one of those lunch and learns. And so you bundle the free presentation with an offer. And the offer could be a discount, could be a complimentary assessment, could even be an offer to provide a free report that you could offer to those clients to come onto your website, join your email database, and then they get the report. And you could also offer a special rate for attendees. Maybe it's introductory rate of, maybe it's 50% off your regular fee. You know, you've got lots of room to play with and lots of different opportunities. You could also record CD or video if you're doing workshops and you can sell them. You could bundle the recording as a giveaway with, let's say you have a special 3 hour rate. So you say, and on top of that, you know, here's my free CD with this. I know David and you do that all the time, and it's great stuff. Great material.
Right. It works. It works. Frank, my head is swimming with ideas. What's one thing that you really want folks on the call to know?
It's just being aware, looking at your business with a 360-degree perspective, okay? Not to be myopic about your business.
Right.
And not to do things in a traditional way. You don't have to do things in a traditional way. And learn from what other people are doing. You know, stealing is the best compliment, something like that. I don't know.
Can I quote you on that when I get arrested? I mean, come on.
Stealing ideas, perhaps.
There you go.
You know, but
modeling, copying. Yeah.
Copying. Yeah. Do what works for you, and just think outside of the box.
For someone that's never done this before, because, you know, I've marketed all my life with what I do, but for somebody that hasn't and they're hearing all these ideas and, you know, they're the hour-to-hour person, what's the beginning first next step for someone?
Based on your business, you have to look at, and you have to look at your target, and you have to think about what your target needs and maybe what you're not providing that fits within that need. That's still within your marketing tree, okay, that still is on purpose and on track with your mission.
Right.
Because when you can identify a need or a want, and you see, that's the idea, that's the spark of an idea. And then you take a look at, okay, what can I offer? And often you can see that there's something you can provide to fill the gap, to fill the need. So that's what I would recommend for people, especially in the
I think that's a great idea, because years ago, I'm talking like 1986, 87, when I first started my practice and I was working with teenagers, I'd come out of working in a drug treatment center, and there were a lot of people in town working with teenagers, but none of them were doing groups. And that's all I had done at the treatment center was groups, sometimes 35 kids bigger than me that didn't want to be there. And by finding that one thing to package and then market it and package it, you know, I built an entire practice around it. So that I like that simple first step you're talking about.
Yeah, it's about the opportunity. It's always about the opportunity. I just did a teleclass for singles a couple weeks ago, and my fee was $20, okay?
Right.
It's an hour-long program. But what I did was I offered them a $15 discount on any of my 2007 workshops, okay? Plus, they receive a mini guide on flirting that has a retail value of $9.
Like
so
that.
I'm paying them $4.95, right?
That's a different way to look at it. I like that.
Frankie?
Yes.
Hi, this is Gabrielle. We spoke last week. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you, Gabrielle?
I have to tell you, since I've joined RCI within the last month, with David and Jeff's help, I've been able to get clear about being comfortable with marketing. But what you just went through just put everything together.
Okay.
So I can feel the tree, and I can feel better about marketing. I hadn't whittled it down until you spoke that my real core is helping people to believe in themselves.
That's true.
Which is really something I hadn't gotten to the very essence of before. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
An important URL for you is www.buildingyouridealpractice.com/packaging.html, because a lot of what Frankie covered today is there, almost like a transcript, and no charge.
Frankie, and thank you. You know, like I was saying earlier, you know, I've been marketing and practice since 1986, and I teach marketing, and I have learned so much today. My head is spinning with good ideas. I knew I was onto something when I invited you here.
Well, thank you, Jeff. It's really been my pleasure, and I really enjoyed today, and thank you.
You're very welcome, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Next month, in March, David and I will be talking about how to create your ideal practice in 90 days or less. Look for our emails about that. Join us then, and go use this stuff. Bye, folks.
Right. Thanks, Frankie, and thanks for joining us, everybody.